All right, Pastor San, over to you.
Thank you, Timothy. Thank you again, Heritage Baptist Church, for inviting me to be a participant of your youth camp. Tonight, we're talking about guarding our hearts and mind. And so I emailed the Ministry of Defense here in Singapore, and I asked them to send me a prototype of a new helmet that they have for their new recruits. So I want to show you this new helmet that they sent me. So here's their new helmet. You think this would be a good new helmet? It's kind of big for my head and everything. But I don't know. Do you think that'd be a good helmet when we go into battle? So you can, Pastor Mei Feng said, defending science, silence again. So yes, this would not be an ideal helmet, would it? And you wouldn't go into battle with a pot strainer on your head. For one thing, it has a lot of holes and the bullets might hit you anyways. It's not that thick. So it's not going to do you any good, right? Well, when we're talking about guarding our hearts and mind, there's something we need to understand. We need to understand that what kind of battle are we fighting? What is the circumstances that we're in? Because you got to have the right armor for the right battle. If you look with me in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 12, we just sang Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 18. So this isn't where we're going to be at, but this is where we're going to start. Ephesians 6, chapter 6, verse 10, starting in there, it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." And in verse 12, it says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the sword of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." Paul was writing this letter, and he was telling them at the end of this letter, he said, "Finally, my brethren," or "my sisters in Christ, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." We need to be more than just strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. He says in verse 11, "Put on the whole armor of God." Why? Because that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You see, the battle that we face as Christians when we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior is not a physical battle. It's not a hand-to-hand combat. It's not using machine guns or a tank or airplanes or anything like that. It is a spiritual battle, so you need a spiritual armor to fight in this battle. And so you need the whole armor of God. Now, I'm not going to go too much into Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18, but I often wonder, why did God need a helmet of salvation? I often wondered, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You see, you can't have the armor of God if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. So my next question is, have you ever been in a struggle or a fight where you were out of your league, outnumbered or outmatched? You understand David's situation when he went to deliver food to his brothers back in 1 Samuel chapter 17? Go ahead and turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17. And that, while you're turning there, I'll just give you a little background to where we're going to be at. David went to the battlefield where King Saul and his army had a standoff with the Philistines and their champion, Goliath. Now, David, remember last night we talked about Samuel was sent by God in 1 Samuel chapter 16 to go and crown the new king that God had chosen, and that was David. I keep saying Daniel. I mean David. Daniel is another good illustrated figure in the Bible, but we're talking about David tonight. I'm sorry. Remember that in 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 14, Samuel had told Saul that day that he had done foolishly and that God has chosen another one to take over as king of Israel. And this person was a man after God's own heart. And then we see in 1 Samuel chapter 16, God tells Samuel, you go to Jesse, and one of his sons will be the king of Israel. Now, remember, Samuel was so afraid of Saul that he said, if Saul catches me, he's going to have me killed. So God took care of that. And so when Samuel went to see Jesse back in 1 Samuel chapter 16, if you recall, he looked at all of Jesse's sons. And he thought these older brothers were going to be the king. But God kept telling Samuel, no, that's not the one. And remember last night, they overlooked David, right? Well, now we get to 1 Samuel chapter 17, and Jesse tells his son David, go and check on your brothers. Go and see what's going on and take them some food. Because Jesse was worried. They've been gone for a couple of days, and he was worried about the progress and what's going on, what's holding them up. And when David arrived there to the battlefield, all he heard was the taunting of Goliath over the crowd, over the fearful soldiers on Saul's team. And these guys were just standing around, and Saul was in his tent, and he was trying to come up with a plan. And these guys, David came to them and said, what's going on? Why aren't you fighting? Why isn't anyone standing up to Goliath? And these men says, he also overheard them say to each other, you know, I think whoever fights Goliath and wins, Saul's going to give them riches. He's going to give them a reward in money and gold. He's going to let that person marry his daughter. And he's going to give you a big promotion. But that wasn't enough, was it? And so when David gets there and his brother finds him, we look here in verse 28. Well, back up to about verse 26. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, in 1 Samuel chapter 17, we're in verse 26, and it says, and David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered him after this manner, saying, so shall it be done to the man that killeth him. And Eli, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men. And Eli's anger was kindled against David, and he said, why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thy heart, for thou art here, are come down that thou mightest see the battle. And David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? And he turned from him toward another and spake after the same manner. And the people answered him again after the former manner. And when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. Let's pray. Dear and Father, we thank you for this evening. We thank you, Lord, for this time you've given us. Lord, help us to understand that we have to, first of all, understand what kind of battle we're facing on a day-to-day basis as Christians, as your followers. Help us to know how to be equipped so that we can guard our minds and our heart appropriately. Help us to see what David has done in this scripture to help us see that and what we need to do. And always pray in Jesus' name. Amen. David asked the question, is there not a cause? David realized three important truths when fighting a battle as an underdog. Now, we're here in COVID-19. We're under circuit breaker. And by now, you're probably sick and tired of wearing those mouth masks, whether they're disposable or whether they're reusable. You're probably tired of staying inside. And you're probably tired of not being able to go out and visit your friends or go to church and be with your church family. But I saw an advertisement on Facebook earlier today sent out by the government of the Ministry of Health by Singapore. And I like what it showed. Now, whether we agree whether the masks are doing anything at all, or whether we agree that we should remain under these restrictions, or whether we disagree with all of that. This commercial made a point. It showed the shape of Singapore as an island in dominoes. And they start off with white dominoes. And they showed the red dominoes were the ones that had COVID-19. And then it shows you that all it takes is one. Like a domino, one goes down and the rest of them goes down. All it takes is one with COVID-19, come in contact with the rest of us, and we all get it. And then it showed it again, except this time it took away some of the white dominoes on the commercial. And on this commercial, the red domino started falling, and it said if we washed our hands, that would help on a regular basis. It took away some more dominoes, and it says if we practice social distancing, it would slow down the process because it wouldn't hit the next domino. It showed that one of the dominoes, if they had wore a face mask, it had like a little force field around it, and it kind of slowed down or stopped the COVID-19 spread. But all of this, and at the end of it says, together, we can stop this. And that's what Singapore's been saying, is even though we're apart, together we can do this. Understand that when you follow Jesus Christ and you accept him as your Savior, you're not in the spiritual battle alone. You have Jesus Christ. You have the Holy Spirit. You have God. You have your more mature Christian brothers and sisters alongside you to help you out. But we're going to learn the three important truths when fighting a battle as an underdog. And most of the time as Christians, we may feel like we're fighting a spiritual battle as an underdog, and we might feel like we're not getting anywhere with it. The first truth we find is that we fight for God. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 31 to 37. After Saul had heard what David had said around camp, he went to every man after he talked to his brother, and he kept asking him, is there not a cause? Isn't there a reason we should be fighting Goliath? Isn't there a reason we should be in battle right now? Why are we just sitting around watching this man come out every day taunting us? And in verse 31, it says, and when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for them. And in verse 32, a new thought has begun. And it says, and David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. Now keep in mind, David is a shepherd boy. He has never been in battle before. But yet he speaks boldly, and he says to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with the Philistines. And Saul starts arguing with David and said to David in verse 33, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth and be a man of war from his youth. Basically, Saul said to him, "There's no competition, David. You're going into a battle that you're going to lose. You're not ready. I love your heart. You got zeal. You got fire. But that's all you got." David says to him in verse 34, said to Saul, "Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered out of his mouth. And when he rose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath delivered the armies of the living God." I like what David says. David says, "I got experience. I've been in battle. I've been in battle more scarier than this guy here. I fought against a bear and a lion with my bare hands, and I ripped them apart." God trained him. God trained him while he was out there in the shepherd field. Remember last night we talked about be where God wants you to be? David was where God wanted him to be at this time. And he, this whole time, not only is he watching the sheep and he's guarding the sheep for his father's field, you can imagine all those days of practicing with the sling and the stone, visualizing a wolf or a fox or something, some predator to come to get one of the sheep. And one day a bear and a lion came. It's one of those things that is unbelievable unless you were there, or if it wasn't caught on camera or a picture wasn't taken, you probably wouldn't believe it. Well, unfortunately, at this time in David's life, there was no cameras, there was no Facebook, there was no Google Meet or anything, nothing to record this. We have David's word for this. But just like any young guy that's in out there and he's bored to death, he saw an opportunity out there in the field. He kept his eyes focused on the job ahead of him, on the mission ahead of him. He never faltered. He never walked away from the field, away from those sheep. He always protected the sheep because he knew he was fighting for God. He was trained. And he said in verse 36, "This uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God." All it took for David, all the reason for him to fight Goliath, was that Goliath was blaspheming God. Goliath was taunting the Israelites. Goliath was talking bad about his God. Now, when I was growing up in America, we have this thing where you can make fun of each other. You can make fun of all kinds of things, but you better not talk about my mama. Okay, I don't know what that is here in Singapore, but you never talked about anybody's mother. You don't joke about their mother. You don't talk bad about their mother because you're asking for a fight. For David, it was, "You're talking bad about my God." And that wasn't enough for anybody else, but that was enough for David. And he knew he was fighting for God. And in verse 37, it says, "David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee." I like that. You see, David was in concern about the power and the strength and the height and the bulk of Goliath. He already knew he was on the victory side. He already knew that he was fighting with the power and the might of God. Doesn't that sound familiar? Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11. He was fighting for God. And when you fight for God, you need to be prepared. You need God's armor. You need to protect your mind. You need to protect your heart to remain pure and strong for God. Now, we do that either by reading the Bible, God's word, We do that by praying and listening to God, talking to God. We do that by going to church. We do that when we encourage one another and uplift one another in prayer. But the second truth that we see here is that we fight with the armor of God. Look down in verse 40. Saul had already, at this point, Saul says, "Well, take my armor." And he put the helmet on a brass upon David's head, and he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go. He was ready to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, "I cannot go with thee, with these, for I have not proved them." And David put them off him. Basically, David said in a very nice and modest way to King Saul, "Your armor doesn't fit me. It's way too big. It's too heavy. I can't move around." You see, David knew he had an advantage against Goliath, and that advantage was size. In this case, size mattered. He knew Goliath was big. He knew Goliath was strong. But he also knew Goliath was slow compared to him, who's young, smaller, more agility. He could fly around and run around between Goliath's legs. He can run circles around Goliath. And he basically said to King Saul, "Thank you for your armor, but I don't need it." And he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in the shepherd's bag, which he had, even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. You see, in verse 40, we see that he chose the armor that God had already given him over the armor that Saul was going to give him. His armor consists of a staff, a shepherd's staff, consists of the sling that he already had. He picked up 5 smooth stones from the brook. I wonder, all it took was 1 stone to take down Goliath. Why did he take 5? If he was so confident in God, why not just take the 1 stone, knowing that it's going to hit dead straight in Goliath's head? Just a little thought. But he also had already his shepherd's bag, and that's all he needed. You know, oftentimes every year we look at the new smartphone that's coming out. We look at the new tablet or the new computers that are coming out, laptops that are coming out. Every smartphone has a better camera. Every smartphone has faster refresh rate, like up to 120 now. There's 60, 90, and 120. The OnePlus 8 Pro, their camera can actually see through certain materials that are black and can actually do an X-ray shot of the Apple TV because it's made of a thin plastic black material. You know what it all comes down to? You just need to make a phone call with that mobile phone. But we use that mobile phone now for all kinds of things. Sometimes we just need to strip down to the basics, just like David did, and said, "All I need is the armor that God has already given me. I don't need the fancy, the brand new stuff. I don't need the armor that you have. I need what God has provided for me." What has God provided for you? What is God's armor for you? You're already equipped. If you have chosen Jesus Christ as your Savior, you've already been equipped with His complete living Word, the Holy Bible. Anytime you have a question, anytime you're wondering about what decisions to make, you have God's words right there. You have prayer. You can always talk to God just like you talk to your parents or your teachers or your pastor or your friends. You know what else you have? You have your pastor, your youth pastor. You have your pastor's wife, your youth pastor's wife. You also have more mature Christian brothers and sisters in your church than you can go to and ask them to pray for you and help you and get counseling from them. And the third truth we got here is that we fight victoriously in God. Now, down in verse 41, it says, "And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance." Basically, Goliath was offended that Saul was sent out this strapping young man, and he was good looking. He had no signs of experience of battle, no scars. He obviously was not bulk and muscular, but he was good to look upon. He was strong, lean. And he started talking to David. He said, the Philistine said unto David in verse 43, "Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field." David's response to him was, "I'm going to kill you today in front of all your friends, in front of the Philistine armies, in front of Israel. And everybody's going to know today that you went up against the God of all things, the God of all creation, and you lost." David took that sling. David ran around Goliath, ran circles around Goliath, avoided the swing of his sword. And David took a shot of him with his sling, and that smooth stone hit Goliath in the center in the head, and Goliath fell over dead. And David did what he said he was going to do. He took Goliath's own sword and chopped off his head and held it for all to see. Once again, we see here, it wasn't through David. It was through God. David already knew he had the victory because he was fighting with God. David had many other battles before he was publicly anointed king of Israel. Recall that after he had won this battle, he was not yet king, but he was invited to King Saul's court, and he started playing the harp because King Saul just couldn't calm down. He was going through anxiety attacks that God has put on him. And then recall that his reputation got a little more popular over Saul, that Saul got so jealous that Saul wanted to kill David. And there was plenty of time for David to take Saul's life, but he didn't. He waited on God. Guarding our hearts and mind, we need to understand that we're in a spiritual battle. And because we're in a spiritual battle, we need the whole armor of God. And that whole armor of God starts with salvation in Jesus Christ. We have to practice our faith, trust in God, be obedient to him. We have to put our footing down for God. You know, the saying in the world is, choose your battles. I don't know if that's actually true or not. We need to know when we can stand up for God. But you can't do that if you continue to serve two masters. If you say that you are a son of God or a child of God, daughter of God, because you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. The moment you accepted and received Jesus Christ as your Savior, you said, "I will be obedient to God. I will live for God. I will be faithful to God." So why aren't you guarding your hearts and mind? Why aren't you protecting yourself? We protect our eyes from our computer monitors and our smartphones and our tablets because of the blue screen that's coming through. We protect ourselves from the sun. I see everybody walking around with umbrellas for shade so they don't get the UV rays from the sun. We put lotion on. We stay inside most of the time. We protect ourselves from COVID-19. We social distance. We use the tracking, the tracing apps and everything. But how often do we actually protect our hearts and mind from the sins of this world and lean on God? Some physical and some spiritual battles that David went through. And he didn't always stand strong in those battles, but eventually he won. He won the physical and spiritual battles when he guarded his mind and heart. The whole armor of God is specific to protecting us against the spiritual battles we fight on a daily basis. We don't just fight the battle and it's over. We fight it every single day. You can guard your mind and heart against sin by putting on the whole armor of God. Now, don't put on that pot strainer kind of helmet. Put on the armor of God like David did. Supply yourself, equip yourself with what God has already given you. I hope this has been a good challenge to you. And I hope you can identify the armor of God in your life to help you through these spiritual battles that you're facing every day. Let's pray.